Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. All of Psalm 1. Then looking in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable, you do not know them. Therefore hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others, and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Drink water from your own cistern, and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Verses 1 through 23, all of Proverbs chapter 5. Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for your word. Thank you for the power, the grace, the strength, the insight in your word. And thank you for how that your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It teaches us, guides us, molds us, shapes us, and helps us to walk in your wisdom, your power, your grace, and your calling. With every passing day, more and more, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us to be the hearers and doers you've called us to be. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer as well.
Father, we're thankful for our listening family. We have great confidence that you've gathered a group of people here today to hear from you, that you would speak to them, that they would listen, that they would receive what you say to them and live on it. Father, we pray for those who are hurting, that they would be strengthened with all might according to your glorious power, whether that's spiritual strength, Father, or physical strength. And we pray, Father, that you would just work in them in a mighty way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're continuing to remind our listeners about a very important project that we have underway here at the American Family Association, AFA Streaming. We're introducing the latest ministry project, AFA Streaming, built and managed by the American Family Association. Previously, AFA relied on third-party platforms that you're familiar with, such as YouTube, Vimeo, Facebook, to stream. However, these platforms became censors of biblical truth, And that's so tragic to think of that. Well, AFA Streaming is now available right now. AFA Streaming is an online platform that hosts all of AFA's produced video content, from documentaries and church curriculum to our Cultural Institute series. All are available now for online viewing on a user-friendly, first-class website. AFA's vision is to be a leading ministry in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA Streaming also provides top-notch resources that address issues related to the core values of the American Family Association. And it's simple to create an account with us and stream limited content for free. Great Commission partners, that is, those who make a monthly donation of any amount, will have unlimited access to all content on the platform. Please pray for this ministry effort. The American Family Association continues to be a leading ministry and organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. You can set up your account today and start streaming. To find out more information about how to do that, visit afa.net. Again, that's afa.net. We are honored and blessed to have as our phone guest today Ben Bennett. He's a co-author with a book with Josh McDowell entitled Free to Thrive. Ben, how are you this morning?
Hey, Pastor Joseph, I am doing well. What a privilege to be with you today.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a few moments to further introduce yourself and then tell us a little bit about your cooperation with Josh McDowell in writing this book. And we'll get into the whys as well in a few moments.
Absolutely. Well, I live in Dallas, Texas, honored to be out here in God's favorite state. Just kidding. But I am a speaker and author and head up a global movement reaching people. It's called the Resolution Movement. I launched that with Josh McDowell a couple years ago, and the goal of that is to resolution people with biblically based research informed solutions to their hurts, their struggles. We know so many people today are dealing with trauma, mental health issues, things that impact their questions about faith and God and the Christian worldview, things like porn addiction. And so we offer people solutions. We share vulnerably about our stories and how Jesus has brought healing and freedom. And we do a lot online, TikTok, Instagram. I've got a podcast. And when I'm not doing that, I love hanging out with friends, fishing here in the lakes, man-made lakes of Dallas, and traveling and seeing all around the world God's beautiful creation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you minister, sometimes you minister in maybe in conference settings, you minister online, as well as you share the message and the theme of the book, then Free to Thrive. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. In-person speaking, we've been doing a lot online this past year, as we know, with the global pandemic, Zoom mm-hmm. calls and whatnot. But this book really came out of Josh and I's heart to be part of the solution. We've seen so much brokenness all around the world. So many people in the church, outside of the church, dealing with anxiety, depression, addiction, unresolved issues from their family of origin, deep emotional wounds. And I think what we've seen is so often our spiritual life is having little impact on our emotional and relational life. The model that we look to is Jesus, Luke 2:52. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature in favor with both God and man. There's a emotional, relational, spiritual, physical aspect of Jesus that he grew in and matured in, and we need to follow him and focus on maturing emotionally and relationally in that and spiritually, and that involves dealing with our emotional hurts, our relational hurts, the things that have impaired us growing up in life.
Hmm. Well, you know, in learning a little bit more about your story, your background, you shared how that you dealt with some pretty heavy things within your family. Though, even though your family was a Christian family, you had some unique struggles that you had to kind of work through. Can you, as we begin to kind of talk about both the message and the theme of the book, can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd love to, Pastor Joseph. You know, I grew up in a ministry family. I grew up at a really early age understanding the gospel, that God loved me and wanted a relationship with me, that I had done wrong, but Jesus lived a perfect life, died on the cross, rose again. At a really young age, I got that. I was all in. I repented and believed in Jesus for my salvation and had this vivid relationship with God, talking to Him every day, believing He was real, an awareness of His presence. But while that relationship was restored, other relationships were broken, particularly in my family growing up. My dad was really angry. I experienced being bullied by him, being called names. He would often lash out in anger. I often felt like I couldn't meet his expectations. Then later, he started abusing alcohol, and our relationship just really was strained. So often, I was afraid of him growing up. And in addition to that, I was bullied by my friends for my faith, for my weight. I often just felt like I couldn't fit in. I couldn't be me and who God created me to be. So early on, I didn't think there were any problems. I thought I was the problem. I blamed myself. I bought into shame, believing that I am wrong. And so just dealing with that so heavily as a kid, by the age of 8, I was riddled with, I got diagnosed with anxiety, depression, obsessive compulsive disorder.
At the age of 8, you mean?
Yeah, at the age of 8. And it was so confusing. I started dealing with these out-of-body experiences due to public shaming and embarrassment from a teacher, and it was just a terrifying experience to have all of this going on inside of me. Eventually, I started dealing with obsessive-compulsive disorder as it relates to Christianity, which I know a lot of people who deal with OCD end up dealing with, and I was... Half the time, I was convinced that I was going to hell, that I wasn't actually a Christian, that God was going to reject me too, that I was losing my salvation. So I started praying the sinner's prayer upward of 20 times a day. And eventually, it got so miserable and bad that I wished I had never been born, because every day was a battle. It was a challenge to get through. I was introduced to pornography by some of my friends, quickly got addicted to that, became addicted to food, eventually gained over 100 pounds. There was just so much, and all the while, you know, mind you, I was talking to God each day. I had a relationship with God. I was trying to find freedom from these different struggles, but my spiritual life was having little impact on the other things I was going through, the emotional hurt, the relational wounds I was dealing with.
Okay. And so in the midst of that too, I tell you what, we're coming up on a break in just a few moments, so we'll pick up on the other side. But as on the other side of the break, if you'll share too how that your relationship with your dad and mom, how that was going in the midst of all that, because again, you're speaking of having grown up in a basically Christian home, which might seem a little unusual for some listening, thinking, well, you know, that should solve most of your problems. But the reality is everybody has struggles. So, again, we're grateful to have as our phone guest today, Ben Bennett. He's the co-author with Josh McDowell with the book entitled Free to Thrive, How Your Hurt, Struggles, and Deepest Longings Can Lead to a Fulfilling Life. We'll be right back.
Through all all life's demands, cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me. And every little thing I make up my mind to be, like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix, and I'ma be a husband who stays legit. And I pray that I'm an artist who rises above the road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me, though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a feast full of eyes, a low blow to purpose. And I'm a little kid at a three-ring circus. I don't wanna gain the whole world and lose my soul. Flashes, say they think that it's you, but they don't know that who you are is not what you do. True, we get it twisted when we peek at the charts. Yo, before we part from the start, where's your heart?
You a pimp?
Hustler, tell me what's your title? America has no more stars, now we call them idols. You said idol, while we teach prosperity, the first thing to prosper should be inside me. Not because of 22s on the range, but Christ came in range. We said yes, now we change. Not the same, even though I met a fall. Since I got that call, no more Saul, now I'm Paul.
Yep.
Music of Toby Mac with Lose My Soul. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. A reminder that Jesus is the answer to everything, every situation, everyone, and all their struggles in all of the world. Our phone guest today is Ben Bennett. He is the co-author, along with Josh McDowell, who is the author, co-author as well, of the book Free to Thrive, How Your Hurt, Struggles, and Deepest Longings Can Lead to a Fulfilling Life. Ben, as we begin this second segment, would you take time specifically to pray for listeners that they'll have ears to hear and be able to receive all the Holy Spirit would like them to receive through the wisdom and counsel shared through the broadcast today?
Yes, Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to explore your word, you, what you've done in our lives. God, I pray for everyone listening. God, Holy Spirit, would you fill them, help them to hear what you want them to hear. God, you came to set the captive free. You came to bind up our wounds, Jesus. So in the ways that you uniquely want to do that, to reveal things in our lives, to bring healing and freedom, your goodness, would you do that today? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I wanted you to address the matter that I touched on before we went to the break. You were a Christian as a young man, and you knew the Lord, and you grew up in a Christian home, yet you had some serious struggles with your dad in particular. And can you share a little bit more maybe about your relationship with your dad and mom in the midst of all you were going through?
Yeah, in the midst of all I was going through, I know my parents were doing the best they could with what they had. And but despite that, you know, my family growing up was kind of disengaged emotionally, so I was dealing with all this hurt, all these struggles, and I was so shut down at an early age. Like I said, because of the fear that I was living in, the negative experiences I was having, and as Josh McDowell says, rules without relationship lead to rebellion. And that's one of the things I was experiencing. There was, you know, just growing up, all these rules in the home. We talked about Jesus here and there. So much of it, though, was focused on doing good and behavior, and the lack of connectedness, the lack of truly feeling loved and accepted for who I was. And we know, as you know, believers, our behavior follows our belief. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commands. We're supposed to experience the love and acceptance of God through Jesus, and out of an overflow, we do these good things. So that's kind of what I was wrestling with at an early age.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I want to bring up, okay, specifically in part, your book addresses the reality that we see some well-known spiritual leaders who've basically fallen. I think of specifically Ravi Zacharias, Carl Lentz, Josh Duggar, what would you say they have in common, and what do their stories have to do with the message of your book?
Yeah, so I've been working with leaders for about 10 years. For about the first 6 years, I was really working with leaders who were at risk for moral failure, a lot of people dealing with porn addiction and secret struggles and things like that. And I know of those names, you know, everybody listening, there's probably more names you may think of, and there's different categories, some people getting into predatory behavior and other people dealing with affairs and things like that. And when it comes to this issue, I think it's easy for some of us to talk about, you know, aligning ourselves with, oh, well, you know, if that happened to them, could it happen to me? But really nothing happened to them. They acted on that behavior, and we need to empathize with the, you know, the victims, the horrific things that have been done to people, the hurt that has happened. But one of the things we see and explore all throughout our book is that brokenness, whether we're the perpetrator of that brokenness, hurting other people, or the person experiencing that brokenness, that trauma done to us, that's something that is universal in our world, that all people are dealing with to varying degrees on this side of the Garden of Eden. And one of the things we find with especially leaders at risk is that there's three things we've continued to see. One is isolation, this starting to keep secrets, starting not really talking about what's going on, what they're dealing with internally. Second is internal and external pressure. I've talked to many leaders who have said it felt like the world depended on me. I was talking to a leader recently who had a moral failure recently, and the world, it felt like the weight of the world, the pressure, all of these people having these expectations. And I put that expectation on myself to be that kind of godlike figure. And then lastly, these deep, unresolved, unmet longings, these hurts from growing up, the father wound, the mother wound, the feeling like I couldn't fit in, all of these things create this perfect storm for leaders who get put in, who enter in to ministry and who don't deal with this stuff and don't walk in the light, and for things to start coming out, them to start coping in unhealthy ways. And so those are some of the things we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in your research, what God-given needs and longings did you discover all people have in common to fulfill healthy, satisfied, to fulfill healthy, satisfied lives?
You know, in the Garden of Eden, God created us to be known and loved, and we had all of our needs met by God, but it was not good for man to be alone, so also with people. We need God, and we need people, too. But one of the things we realized, Pastor Joseph, was that all throughout Scripture, and psychological and sociological research backs us up, of course, because it's in Scripture, but that God has created people with seven longings, seven persistent cravings of the heart. Things like acceptance, appreciation, love, safety, to be known and understood, to be accepted for who we are no matter what. And these were fulfilled in the Garden of Eden, but on this side of the Garden of Eden, those things go unmet. We experience rejection rather than acceptance. We experience abuse and some of us horrific things done to us. And those create these deep caverns of pain, of emotional wounds that really affect our you know, development, and like I said earlier, our spiritual, our emotional, our relational lives are connected, and we have to deal with all of these things together with God and other people. And so when those needs are met, we truly flourish in life. I think of it's Romans 15, accept one another then just as Christ accepted you. When we're accepted by God through Jesus, we repent and we turn to Him and give our life to Him. When we're accepted by other people for who we are, we truly thrive. We feel that we matter, and we see and affirm the image of God that we were created with. And that changes everything to experience that in life.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned seven specific human needs. Now, do those line up with what's referred to as Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
So Maslow, I believe there's five different hierarchies. He kind of started out with once people have their basic needs met, like food, water, shelter, then it gets into like safety, and then there's a third layer that we talk about in the book, but they don't particularly line up with that, but they're not in disagreement with that. These are more relational needs to be fulfilled by God and others.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in view of kind of those issues that you're dealing, and of course these are issues, of course, that you're touching on and just kind of giving insight about in your book. Then, basically, right?
Yeah, you know, so many people today are dealing with these unmet longings, a lack of safety, you know, questions about, I mean, just even the past 18 months, living in fear of everything going on in the world, that creates this deficit, this feeling that we're not safe. And so what do we do with that? You know, one of the things we say is that none of our struggles are random. Anxiety is not random. Depression is not random. Drinking too much isn't random. You know, looking at pornography, that's not random. A lot of times in the church, we can boil our struggles down to simply our broken nature. But the reality is that behind all of those things are these legitimate longings, these legitimate needs that are going unmet, and we're doing something with them. We're reacting to them. I think of Job. In Job 3, he was so depressed, he wished he had never been born. Why? Well, he lost his health, his wealth, his family. He had these deep traumas, these unmet longings, this lack of safety going on. And so the reality is whenever we experience these unmet needs, these unmet longings, we do something with them. And it's God's desire that we would question these struggles and figure out what we're needing and how we can go to Him and other people to find those things fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me this now. How would you, okay, explain this as you address this matter. Like, why do you say that unhealthy behavioral patterns are not the problem, but the solution? In what way is that true?
Well, all of us are wired for solution, I think. We're always, whether or not we know it, we are looking to resolve hurts from our past. We're looking to resolve these unmet longings in our life because God wired us to have these desires fulfilled. The scriptures say he fulfills the desires of all who seek Him. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So whether or not we realize it, we're seeking out our desires to be fulfilled. Everything's being driven by our heart. So we got to check what's going on in my heart. So I know for me, for years, pornography ultimately wasn't my problem. It was my attempted solution. I was seeking out love and acceptance and safety in pornography. But it was a bad solution. You know, it was a sinful solution. It didn't provide what my heart was truly looking for. I was experiencing rejection from my friends, from my family, and I was attempting to solve that by going to pornography. But once I started to question that struggle and say, what is this about? Why do I keep going back to this? What am I longing for? I realized, man, I am deeply hurting. I feel unknown. I feel so rejected. I feel so worthless. And I started to take that to God and others and reach out for help rather than acting out through pornography. I found a new solution, a biblical solution, one that God created me to experience that would help me truly thrive. And that was by feeling the love and acceptance of a good father, of God, and experiencing the love and acceptance of my friends who knew me, knew everything about me, and loved me still the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Ben, I think of, too, something that I was picked up, that I picked up, too, that you indicated that having a genuine Christian church family slash community that you can really go to for help, for encouragement, for accountability, that it seemed like you were saying that's a very important element in the midst of how we help address these things as well. Would that be accurate to say?
Very accurate. You know, all these seven needs and longings were designed to be fulfilled by God, but also by other people. We need one another. If you think about all of the one another's, Pastor Joseph, throughout the New Testament, pray for one another, confess your sin to one another, forgive one another just as Christ forgave you. We are wired to be known and loved and accepted and to have a life of no secrets with a couple people who truly know us and love us despite all of our shortcomings.
Mm-hmm. We're coming up on a break here. We'll pick up on the other side. Our phone guest today is Ben Bennett. He's a co-author along with Josh McDowell of the book Free to Thrive. We'll be right back.
This is the story of a runaway with no way home and no way out. I threw the best of me away. I had my chance, it's too late now. Too far gone and too ashamed to think that you'd still know my name. But love refused to let my story end that way. You didn't wait. Found my way to you. I couldn't cross that distance, even if I wanted to. You came running after me when anybody else would have turned and left me at my worst. Love moved first. Oh,
oh. The music of Casting Crowns. Love moved first. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest is Ben Bennett. He's the co-author of the book Free to Thrive. And Ben, I'm going to take a moment specifically to pray for the church before we move into this last segment. Father, thank you, Lord, for every believer listening. Thank you for every church represented. Thank you for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as a whole. Father, flood us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. Help us to recognize, Lord, that you really are the answer to every problem, every challenge, every difficulty. As we fill our hearts with your word and are courageous enough to walk in its wisdom, its power, its grace, and as we live as the church, as we love one another, as we simply do the things you've called us to do, help us to know, Lord, that you do have and you are the solution to all our challenges, all our difficulties. Help us to walk in that. Help us to walk that out. Help us to walk in your wisdom, your power, and your grace more and more faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Ben, let me ask this question. This term, the wholeness apologetics model, as you touch on in the book, can you explain that?
Yeah, so if you think about the words wholeness and apologetics, wholeness is the opposite of brokenness. It's the completeness that comes from God's design for humanity, from how he designed us to live and to thrive. And then apologetics is defending or supporting some aspect of truth. So what we wrote about in this book, Free to Thrive, is this new model of a biblical model that explores God's design for a thriving life. It explores why we struggle, how we heal, how we experience freedom, and then how we start to thrive again through Jesus and others, all based on the Bible, but also backed by psychological research and sociological research. So it really helps people realize, okay, why am I here? How do I truly thrive in God's good design? Why am I continuing to struggle with those things that I'm trying to stop struggling with? And how do I find fulfillment in the here and now?
Okay. So that's specifically the term Holiness Apologetics Model kind of shares a key solution that you're providing in the book. Is that right?
That is. And, you know, the whole book is based on the Holiness Apologetic Model. And throughout the book, we break down each aspect of the model chapter by chapter and get into every aspect of it.
Okay. All right. I want to ask you now. This is a big word. The term neuroplasticity. Explain what that is.
Neuroplasticity, not mentioned in the Bible, but it's one of my favorite biblical truths, I would say, because over 580 times in the ESV Bible alone, it mentions the words mind, think, believe, and variations of those. The Bible has so much to say about our minds, mm-hmm. to take our thoughts captive, to think about things that are true, noble, right, and pure. And neuroplasticity, the first part, neuro, means brain, plasticity means plastic. Simply put, your brain is kind of like plastic, and we know from Romans 12:2 to be transformed by the renewing of our minds that our brain is changeable. We can change the way we think. God can change the way that we act. We can overcome sin. We can overcome things like anxiety. And brain research in recent decades shows that through neuroplasticity. They do brain scans and see people's brains changing and the things they used to struggle with, no longer struggling with. Neuroplasticity is the reason why somebody can recover from a stroke and they can learn to move certain parts of their body again, because God has wired our brain to heal and to change. You know, for decades, neuroscientists thought we were stuck in our thoughts. We were stuck in our unhealthy behaviors. The brain was stuck. But God's Word has been saying for 2,000 years that our brain can change. And so much of the brain changing and of thriving in life has to do with how we're thinking. We're not slaves to how our brain has been wired or the thoughts coming into our mind. No, we can actually control that. We can take our thoughts captive and be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And this is one of the greatest ways we heal. As we continue down new patterns of healthy thoughts, as we start to reach out to people, as we start to go to God and feel accepted and find the fulfillment of our longings, it takes time, but step after step, thought after thought, new behavior after behavior, as the Holy Spirit empowers us, our brains start to rewire, and we can overcome those old patterns that we thought we were stuck in or would be stuck in for years. I've met so many people who have been struggling with lust or sexual sin who have just accepted it and said, I'm just going to struggle with this until Jesus comes back, until the day I die. But I stand here today declaring, you can be free from that. I've been free from pornography for over 8 years as a single guy. And that's what God did in my life, as He provided new solutions, as He provided community, as He helped me realize why I was deeply struggling with that, and as He renewed my mind.
You know, that brings to mind Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, which tell us, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12. But just the reality of the fact that God's Word has transforming power. And as we read and meditate on Scripture, Jesus is working on us. He's molding us and shaping and working on our minds to make us more and more like Him. So that's just a great truth of encouragement I would expect for every listener. Well, Just in the last few minutes, can you share maybe a story or two of people who were hurt but then got healed?
Yeah, I was recently working with a college student. I love this college student. I'll call him Ethan, but he was struggling so much with anger. He was anxious, and his anger was almost uncontrollable. It was almost like he would go into this state of rage. He was dealing with depression, too, and pornography. And for years, he was just trying to stop it. He was involved in ministry. He was a leader. He read the Bible every day. He prayed. And he was so often just praying for God to take these struggles away. But unfortunately, he wasn't seeing much growth. He loved God with all his heart, but he thought, why can't I overcome these things? Why is God not just taking this away? And what we started to realize, we got into his story. As we got into that model of Jesus, Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature with God and man, physical, emotional, relational, spiritual wholeness, we started to realize, man, he had some hurts from growing up. So often he didn't feel like he could meet the expectations of his family. They said that his grades were never good enough. They told him that he was too emotional. And so what we started to realize was every time before he got depressed, every time before he went back to pornography, sure enough, there was an event that reminded him of the past, where he felt rejected, where he didn't feel approved of by other people. And that set him into these unhealthy behaviors and responses as he was reacting to those unmet longings. And so that was a light bulb moment for him. So what started to bring healing and freedom, what God used, was he started to realize the situations that would cause him to feel rejected again, seeing his ex-girlfriend on campus, failing a big test. And in those moments, or even before those moments, reaching out to other people. Think of Galatians, it says to bear one another's burdens. He had these burdens. He would reach out to people. He would feel accepted rather than rejected. And so God used those things. He would reach out to God and feel the love of a father and feel accepted. God started to use those situations, those new experiences, to fulfill those deep longings of his heart, to heal the parts of his heart where he had been wounded. And so he started to grow in this emotional wholeness. He started to grow in relational wholeness. And of course, it was spiritual as well, because God was in the midst of it all with him, helping to heal his heart. And that's what led him to start to overcome pornography and to get less depressed.
Okay. Well, our time is just about gone, but where can listeners go online and on social media to learn more about the book, Free to Thrive, also the Resolution Movement and the ongoing ministry of Josh McDowell Ministries?
You can go to freetothrivebook.com for more information about the book. We've got some videos on there, and it has links to all the major outlets. You know, the book is available wherever books are sold. You could go to Barnes & Noble in person if you'd like. And then you can go to resolutionmovement.org to find out more about what Josh and I are doing and resources to find healing from hurt and to help your mental health and to overcome different struggles.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you are, is it correct, you're a staff person on Josh McDowell Ministries, is that right?
Yep, I work with Josh McDowell Ministries, speaker and author there, and I've been doing that for about 4 years.
All right. Well, in the last few moments of our broadcast, as usual, if you're listening today and you've been touched and ministered to, but you and at the same time you recognize that you have never made that all-important step of asking Christ to come into your heart, if you're not sure about your salvation, or you know you're not saved, I'd like to invite you to make that step. In all of life, there's no more important decision than that of asking Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. If you'd like to make that step, would you simply pray this prayer with me today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrongs I've done. Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Lord, you told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me, fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my whole life for you. And help me, Lord, to walk with you in your word and to walk in the healing, the wholeness, and the grace that only comes from you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to be sure and hear from you. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Please get in touch with us. We'd like to share with you some resources and some material that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, if you're simply a listener that you're wanting some more of the prayer tools and discipleship tools we provide, again, we're glad to send them to you. Same email, jparker@afa.net. We're glad to share them. We ask that you take them, use them for you and your own family, in your own family discipleship program. But at the same time, forward them to others. Again, our goal is that we would be co-laborers in discipling, sharing the gospel and discipling many, many others. Ben, thank you so much for being with us today. Again, it's been an honor to have you on the broadcast. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Pastor Joseph, thank you so much. What a privilege it was to be with you today.
All right. And share your website one more time, please.
You can go to freetothrivebook.com.
All right. Thanks, Ben. And thank you. Please pray much for Ben and the ministry of Josh McDowell Ministries. Pray for Josh as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.